Is good to see everybody today on this Father's Day, June 18th, 2017. We're going to start out in Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6 and then 8 and 9. But the title of today's message is Listening to God. And the focus verse will be Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 1. And we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of listening to God, hearing God. It's like I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, you know, Patty was sharing something with me, and it was very important what she was telling me, but my mind was somewhere else. And when she finished speaking with me, I had to tell her, I said, Patty, I apologize, but I didn't hear a thing you just said. You know, and we have the ability to do that. And God has promised us so many wonderful things in His Word. And He says so many wonderful things to us. But if we don't hear them and we don't listen, I'm talking about going from the ear to the mind to the heart. If what God tells you is never established in your heart, you're not benefiting from the promises of God. And I've studied this a little bit deeper in my mind. And I feel bad I've never said this before, but I'm going to say it now. To me, it's a monumental thought. And I'll be showing you that in a moment in the scriptures. I think in the prayer closet, it's more important what we hear than what we say. So think about that for a moment. Communion with God is a two-way conversation that we have made totally one-sided. I'll say I have in a lot of situations. So I'm going to show you how God desires to speak. Holy Spirit, take over. All right, Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your behavior in this life be without coveting things, and be content with such things as you have, for God has said. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is the key to the whole thing. What has God said? What am I hearing God say? What am I hearing God say to me? You know, Brother Charlie's not here, but he was an educator before he went into business. And Charlie and I have been having conversations for many, many years. And as a teacher, he used to say to me, he said, you know, Leo, you can say a lot of things, and everybody out there could hear something different. Amen. You know, as you're expressing yourself, somebody may be hearing this, somebody may be hearing that. And so he always worked with me in trying to be more specific and more careful in how I articulated a point. You know, so that folks can receive the way I intend to impart it. Same way with God. God's trying to impart something to you right now. And this is what He said. God has said, I will never leave you, I will never fail you, and I will never forsake you. Now, that's wonderful news. But a lot of people say, oh, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. Or a lot of people will say, I feel so alone. Well, how do you feel so alone if you're a Christian? You've not taken that word to your heart. I am never alone. I just want to praise God for that. I am never alone. You are never alone if you're a child of God. And people say, well, I'm lonely and I'm depressed. Well, maybe the Holy Spirit's not indwelling you. So if that's the case, we need to get together, man, and we need to receive Jesus Christ into our heart. And you can say the same thing to your loved ones or friends if they ever tell you, you know, I just get lonely and depressed all the time. You may need to tell them. Now, Court, it's gone blank, but it's probably still recording, don't you think? All right, we're good. We're good. So what I want you to understand here, look at what he says. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Now, I told you that word help in the Greek means that somebody comes alongside you, takes you by the arm, and helps you across a busy intersection because you're crippled and lame.
And you say, Brother Leo, what do you mean by that? Well, that's like we used to say the Boy Scouts help those little old ladies across the street. Well, I want you to understand something. I am going through this life lame. I might think I'm strong, but I'm not. I might think I know everything, but I don't. I might think I can make it across that street on my own, but I can't. Amen. And so when we take to our heart, the Lord is our helper. He's right there with me. And He's not only with us, He's the one strengthening us and getting us through. So we need to hear that from God. And then He says this, verse 8. Wait a minute. The Lord is my helper. The Lord is alongside me. So I will not fear whatever horizontal situations I face. So I need to take this from my ear to my mind to my heart. And I'm going to show you how in a moment through the scripture. But the bottom line is when I'm afraid, this scripture is not in my heart. And it's not been established in my heart in this specific situation. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. I am not scared to die. I am ready to die. Because in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to exhale here and inhale in glory. I'm not standing here leaving saying one day I hope I go to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Now, when it comes to the rewards and the loss of rewards, I'm going to have to give an account. Now I'm going to be ashamed for some things. There is no doubt if I've not repented. But I know I'm in heaven. So I'm not afraid of that. But there are horizontal situations in this life where fear comes into my life. So I will not fear. And then verse 8, remember this. Jesus Christ was the same yesterday. He is the same today, and He is the same tomorrow and evermore. So we want to grab hold that the God who parted the Red Sea is our God. The God who created the universe is our God. The God that raised Lazarus from the dead is our God. The God that heals the lepers is our God. The God that's coming back through that eastern sky, piercing the world, is our God. Amen. So we want to hold on to that. And sometimes you just have to speak it. You know, when they're rolling you in there for surgery, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I know You are with me. You are the God who created the universe. You're going to guide this surgeon's hand. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by speaking the Word of God. So don't hold it back. Speak it. And then He says this. See, they were being carried around with false doctrines from the Judaizers who were giving them dietary laws and those things. He goes, be not carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart, your heart be established with the doctrine of grace. So I just want to say, you know why I don't fear death? Because my heart is established in the doctrine of grace. Know I'm saved.
Yeah. Amen.
I know that I know.
Yeah.
But my heart needs to be established with, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor fail you. So, Leo, you don't need to fear. All right, turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. And we're going to look at the spiritual discipline of listening to God. How do we listen to God? Am I listening? Am I seeking to hear from God? So when you get there, kind of give me a nod or raise your hand or shout hallelujah or
hallelujah.
All right. Or say, you know, I looked it up in the index and H comes after G. All right. Old Testament, right? All right, we're good to go. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to You today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. And I pray, Lord Jesus, to be cleansed by Your blood. I confess my sin out loud to You alone when we're in a prayer closet. And I ask, Lord, that You not only forgive me and cleanse me, but You know that I ask You to change me by the power of Your Spirit. And that I would seek to get serious about change in my life. So, Father, I pray now for an anointing and a filling of Your Spirit. And that Your Holy Spirit will take over. And in light of this message today, Father, in the quietness of this moment, as all of us are gathered here,
We're going to pray this to you silently. Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from you today? Holy Spirit, please take over. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, the spiritual discipline of listening to God. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 says this, I will stand upon my watch and I will set myself upon the watchtower. And I will watch to see what God will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, I taught you last time when we were together that watchmen were a big deal in the nation of Israel. And you had the watchmen that sat on the towers all night long around the walled city of Jerusalem. And those watchmen would warn Israel if armies were invading during the night. So they kept the night watches. You had watchmen that would watch for the rising of the sun. And when the sun would rise, they would blow the shofar. And when the shofar would go off, the children of Israel would rise from their bed and they would take the first 20 minutes of the day to praise God for the creation of another day and give glory due unto the name of the Almighty. Yes. Then you had watchmen in the shepherd's fields and they would have watchtowers in the fields around Bethlehem. They would sit at night or in the day and watch for wolves or for ravenous beasts, or for marauders that would come and rob the flock. So the watchman was in a critical position, but he was in a position of quiet, and he was in a position of focus. He had to focus to see what he would see or what he would hear. So Habakkuk is telling us in our prayer closet, we need to take the posture of a watchman. And so, what are you watching for? Look at what he says. I will watch to see what God will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, what is he saying? He's saying when you go in your prayer closet, you need to place yourself in a position where you can hear something from God, where you can listen to what God has to say to you. And I'm going to say again what I said in the introduction. It is most definitely, in a lot of cases, more important what you hear in the prayer closet than what you're saying in the prayer closet. Then I'm going to show you that in a moment. But I want to show you this word reproved. Now, in the Hebrew, that word reproved means the act of pleading, correction, reproof, or stating a point. So what I want you to understand is, when you go in the prayer closet, the Word of God is telling you, you know, you're going to tell God everything that's on your heart, and that's okay. You're going to tell God everything you think you need Him to do, and that's okay. You're going to tell God everything that's going on, and that's okay. But you need to give Him an opportunity to answer you, to reply back to you, to speak to your heart. Okay, I've heard what you've got to say. Now, Leo, let me share this with you. You say, Brother Leo, you're going to hear the audible voice of God? No, I'm probably not. I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I've heard God speak to my heart, and I've heard Him clearly speak to my heart. There have been times I've felt Him impress things upon my heart. There are times He brings things to my mind. But I want to tell you something. You might say, well, Brother Leo, I've never had this kind of an opportunity. And maybe I've never had this kind of an experience. Well, maybe it's because you've never given God this opportunity. So I want you to understand that when you go into the prayer closet, it is communion. It is to be a two-way conversation, and it's not just so we can tell God our idea of how He needs to handle a situation or how we want Him to direct certain things that are going on in our lives. We need to allow Him to tell us what we need to do or think or feel or how we're to act. Now, I'm going to show you that in a moment, but before I do, I want to tell you the Hebrew meaning of the word Habakkuk. The Hebrew meaning of the word Habakkuk is to embrace and wrestle. You say, Brother Leo, embrace and wrestle. Well, what is that? That means Habakkuk is grappling with God. You say, what do you mean he's grappling with God? Habakkuk, if you read the whole book, he's upset that God's going to use those godless Chaldeans to bring judgment upon the godly Israelites who had turned their back on God. So he's crying out to him saying, how can you use such a heathenish people to bring judgment upon us? And so he's grappling with God. And you say, well, Brother Leo, that's not a good thing to do. My friend, that's a great thing to do. Whatever's on your heart, you need to share it with God. Because guess what? He knows what's on your heart anyway. And so as Habakkuk started sharing with God, you know what he ended up saying? The just are going to live by faith. Let me show you what he says at the end of that book. This isn't in the notes, but let me show you. He's grappled with God through the whole thing. And look at what he says in verse 16 of chapter 3. He says, when I heard what God was going to do to Israel, my belly trembled, my lips quivered, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up unto the people, he will invade them with all these Chaldean troops. Although the fig tree will not blossom, fruit won't be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields will not yield any meat. The flock shall be cut off, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Now what he's saying is, the depression that hit America is going to be nothing that was about to hit Israel. And I want to ask you right now, if God spoke to you or spoke to somebody that's in the pulpit and said America is about to lose everything it's ever had because of its godlessness, the markets are going to crash, money's not going to be worth anything, you're not going to have any private ownership of anything, and everything's going to be taken away, and you're all going to be a bunch of paupers, and you're going to have to stand in line to get a piece of bread. Now, if that word came to you, would you be able to say this, verse 18? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is going to be my strength. And though Israel's going to lose everything, he will make my feet like hinds feet. And he will make me to walk upon the high places. And I'm going to give this to the choir director to sing this song on stringed instruments. Now, you say, Brother Lil, how did he get there? Hey, he got there by sharing his heart with God and allowing God to share his heart with Habakkuk. And as they wrestled and they grappled, Habakkuk came to the conclusion, God is right. Israel needs judgment. And whatever comes, I'm still going to praise the Lord. Amen. And Habakkuk says also, the just are just going to keep on living by faith. Amen. So this is how you get these understandings. Now, when you go into the prayer closet, and you don't let God make his points, well, then you're going to miss out. So let's take this attitude. I'm about to have 30 minutes of prayer. So I'm going to go in there and I'm going to speak to God about this. And I'm going to speak to God about this. And I'm going to speak to God about this. And you got a whole list. And you're just going to talk for the next 30 minutes. Let me show you why that is so dangerous without listening to God. Go with me to Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to pray till the cows come home. Now let me show you why this is so dangerous. Not putting yourself in a position to hear the voice of God. You know how I moved to Wayne County in the year 2000? God moved upon my heart to move to Wayne County in the year 2000. No doubt in my mind to commit myself to this ministry. That this is it. No way could I have done that without the voice of God speaking to my heart. When I quit my job in 1984 and without a church, God moved upon me one night as I was praying in bed. And I got up the next morning, drove to near Columbia, South Carolina for a sales meeting and resigned at that moment. Gave them 2 weeks' notice without a church. But God, I knew that God was speaking to me. No seminary degree, no experience, 24 years old. As most people said, too young to be a pastor. But I knew God was speaking to my heart. Well, Brother Leo, you're a preacher. You can do it. No, everybody can do this.
Amen.
It's a spiritual discipline.
Yes, sir.
And you need to believe that it's so. Now, look at why it's important that we don't talk all the time in the prayer closet and that we make time to listen to God. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weakness, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So just stop right there. Would you say this with me? I don't know how to pray. Yeah, would you say it again? I don't know how to pray. You know? Hey, you know what you just did? You confessed the truth before God. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting in the prayer closet and saying, Lord Jesus, I don't know how to pray about this. Huh? It's okay to get in there and say, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. I'm getting hit from this side. I'm getting hit from that side. Lord Jesus, I don't know how to pray. I didn't make this up. Let me read it again. We don't know how to pray in the way we ought to pray. So it's okay to get in a prayer closet and say, Lord, this situation, I don't even know how to pray about it. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say to you right now. But, Lord, please speak to my heart. What do I need to hear from you about this situation?
Amen.
That's a great prayer. Lord, I don't know what to say to you about this situation. So what do I need to hear from you about this situation? Now look what the Spirit says. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God.
Yes.
Now, Cameron, I can get in this prayer closet this afternoon and I can start praying to God. And I can be totally off base. The Holy Spirit, in a vertical manner, is going to take that prayer after it leaves me, according to this verse, and he's going to correct it and take it to the throne room of God. It's a miracle and it's wonderful. But I'm going to totally miss that blessing. And I'm not going to gain any understanding. The Holy Spirit, if I allow Him to, will also work vertically in a descending manner. You say, what do you mean, Brother Leo? If I start praying about a situation and I say, Lord, I know you're making my prayer perfect in the throne room of God, but Lord, reveal to me how I'm praying amiss, and you mold my prayer into your will. I cannot tell you the number of times, I'm saying 10,000, that I've begun praying about a situation in a certain way, and in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm praying totally different than when I started. If you're not doing that, you're leaving the Holy Spirit out of your prayers. You're totally leaving the Holy Spirit out of your prayers. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We need to learn how to listen to God. We need to seek to hear God speak. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While you're turning there, I just want to say to a lot of my buddies that are sitting over here, Patty and I were talking today, I just praise God. Some of our folks have schedules where on Fridays and Saturdays they are doing things 12, 14 hours a day. Not only from ball games, but weddings and traveling all over and birthday parties. And I told Patty, I said, you know, it's amazing because a lot of folks could get up and say, you know, we've had a busy week. We ain't coming to church tomorrow. So I appreciate all you folks that come to church on a Sunday morning. And we all need to be here, but I'm just saying, I know there's a lot of things going on in a lot of lives with doctor's appointments and things, and we just praise Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let me show you what's available to us. In verse 12, it says this, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, that are freely spoken to us by God. So what are the things that God wants to freely speak to us? Verse 13, the things that are not man's wisdom, but are God's wisdom. And the Holy Spirit will teach us and instruct us with discernment concerning spiritual things. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But in our prayer life, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have access to the mind of God. God will reveal to you his mind on every issue you face. God will reveal to you his perspective. He'll reveal to you his plan. It wouldn't hurt you to get in your prayer closet and say, God, share with me what's on your mind about this situation. Share with me how you feel about it, Lord. Reveal to me what's on your mind. What do I need to do? God, Paul is telling you right there, God desires to reveal his mind to you. So we got to listen. You ever heard folks say, oh man, my prayer life's going great. You know, I stayed in the closet 2 hours the other day. I prayed for everybody in the church. And that's great, and I appreciate that. And I do that a lot of times. A lot of times I have 2 or 3 times a week, I go find me a spot outside and I go through the whole room. Because I see where everybody sits. Y'all sit in the same spot every time. If you ever move, I'll forget to pray for you. And those folks that don't come that much, I forget them all the time. And if you don't put money in the box, I probably won't pray for you at all. If you're listening on the website, I'm just teasing. Okay. I don't know who puts money in the box. I don't even know where the box is. But anyway, so it does not hurt, to have those kind of prayers. But my friend, you have missed it all if you don't take time just to listen to God. Just to go get alone with him and say, Lord, here I am. What do I need to hear from you? Because before I close, I want to introduce you to the most dangerous, the most prevalent, and the most familiar voice that you hear. And I'm going to take you to the Gospel of Luke. So go with me to Luke chapter 12. This is the reason you need to hear the voice of God. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus is sharing a word of a story, and he says this, take heed. And beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man on a big farm brought forth all kind of crops. And he thought within himself, and he said, what shall I do? Now jump down to verse 18. And he said, this is what I will do. And jump over to verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, this is where I am in life. You know whose voice that is? That is the voice of self. The voice of self. Would you say that with me? The voice of self. You know what the voice of self says to God? The voice of self. This is what I'm going to do. First, you'll ask yourself the question he did. What am I going to do? And then instead of waiting for God's answer or seeking God's answer, you go right forward and say, this is what I'm going to do. And then after you decide what you're going to do, you're pretty proud of yourself in verse 19. I'm going to say to my soul, soul, now we've got it made. Let me describe the voice of self for you. The voice of self is emphatic, it is decisive, and it is dead wrong. It's dead wrong. You say, bro, Leo, wait a minute. No, y'all know the rest of the story. Verse 20. God said unto him. Look at what verse 20 says. But God said unto him. You know, it would have been better if that phrase was up there in verse 17. Hear what God has to say as soon as you say, what do I need to do? And then if it had said, and God said unto him, he wouldn't have died that night. See, our problem is, we do verse 17, 18, and 19, and it's not till verse 20 we hear from God, and instead of a word of God's counsel, we're going to experience the word of God's judgment. See, we say, what shall I do? Then we say, this is what I'm going to do. And then we convince ourselves it was the right thing to do. And then 3 minutes later, or 3 hours later, or 3 months later, we say, God, get me out of this mess. God, get me out of this mess. Well, Brother Leo, how can I avoid that in the future? Go in your closet and listen. It's okay to say, you know, Lord, this is what I'm thinking about doing. What do you think? Because when you're operating that way, you totally exclude James chapter 1. So turn to James chapter 1. As we're going to close in Psalm 32, but turn to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God for God's wisdom. God will give you his wisdom liberally, abundantly, and freely, and he will not hold anything back. If you ask for it, it will be given unto you. Ask him for the wisdom in faith and independence. That's what the next verse says. Some of you in this room, some of you that are listening on this website, may be able to confess to me right now, you know, Brother Leo, or you may be able to confess to God right now, you know, Brother God, I have never made a decision in my life where I have sought the wisdom of God. I have never made a decision about buying a house, about taking a job, about marrying a spouse. I have never one time in my life made a decision based on consulting and seeking the wisdom of God. If you're listening in this room or on this website, it's not too late.
Amen.
Start today seeking the wisdom of God. Knowing, look at what he says. If you lack wisdom, ask God for it, and he will give it to you. So when you're, where do I do it? You do it in the prayer closet. You get there. You want to ask for health? You want to ask for healing? You want to ask for provision? Ask for the wisdom of God in this situation. Ask for the wisdom of God in this situation. Ask for the wisdom of God in this situation. And don't move, you know, don't do anything until you get the wisdom of God. I've seen God work out things in my life and in our ministry. Amazingly, I praise God I didn't dive in there and mess that thing up. So we got to learn how to listen to God. And I want to say to you again, when you're in the prayer closet, what you're hearing is more important than what you're saying. Now I want to close out with Psalm 32. Two verses. And we're going to have a time of invitation. Psalm 32 walks hand in hand with Psalm 51. These are David's repentance psalms, prayers. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then he murdered her husband Uriah. And then when the prophet Nathan appeared to him and said, you got to confess and repent, he threw him out of the palace for months. And in Psalm 32, he says in verse 3, when I kept silent and didn't repent, my bones waxed all through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. So that's how you know. Okay, and he came to the place where in verse 1 he could say, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. So we know in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, he's sharing with us how he got forgiveness. He was stubborn, he was obstinate, he was disobedient, but he finally came to that place. But what I want to show you is what he learned he could receive from God if he would listen to him. And in Psalm 32, verse 8, he says this, speaking from the third person, speaking from God, God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the specific way. Now, we studied that word way. That way is a pathway.
Yeah.
Okay? As you go through life, it ain't an 8-lane interstate. Every situation you're navigating is a pathway. And God will make it clear. It's a good path. It's a clear path, but you got to stay on it. So the Lord will instruct you and teach you in the pathway which you should go. I will guide you with my own eye. The eye that sees past tomorrow. The eye that sees the end from the beginning. I'll guide you personally from my heavenly, all-knowing, all-loving perspective. Now, there is no way I can neglect that in the prayer closet. I'd have to be a fool. And that's what God called the rich man. He goes, you fool, your soul's required tonight for not consulting me. So I'd have to be a fool not to listen, to seek to listen to God. But notice how I am in the prayer closet. Verse 9, don't be like a horse or a mule which have no understanding, whose mouth has to be held in with bit and bridle until they come near unto thee. You know, we've got some horse people in here today. And one thing you don't want in a horse, you don't want a horse that bites the bit. They'll fight the bit with everything they got. It's called biting the bit. But they'll fight that bit with everything they got. And there are times you have to put a tie down on those maniacs. Because they're throwing their head. I've been hunting hogs and you've been running through the woods and the swamps and you'll get in a spot and you'll be leaning over and he'll throw his head. And if you've ever been hitting the forehead with the forehead of a horse. So you have to put tie downs on them so they can't throw their head. That's us. Okay, that's us. All we got to do is quietly and submissively place ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to fight this thing anymore. Just give me your wisdom. I'm going to sit here until I hear you speak to me. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Judy's going to come play. And you've heard me say this dozens of times from this pulpit. I'm going to ask you to pray right now and simply say, Lord, what do I need to hear from you about this? And you fill in the this. Maybe it's something you were worried about before you got here today. Maybe it's something you faced last week. Maybe it's something you're facing tomorrow. Maybe it's something you've been dealing with for years. But just try to place yourself before the Lord to hear that loving voice of wisdom and say, Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from you right now concerning this? And I promise you, the Lord will begin the process of speaking to your heart and he'll continue it if you'll continue seeking His voice. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord Jesus, what do I need to hear from You? Thank you.